All right, we're back. Roy Matlack Jr. Today's show, we're talking about the four keys to financial independence. If you're just tuning in, the plan, the education, the advisor, and the product selection. When we came out of the break, the thing we were talking about was the plan. And the plan is, you know, it starts with the goal, the plan, the schedule. And so when we look, you're 35 years old, what's your goal? I want to quit and make 80 grand a year, do nothing money. All right, great. And what's the plan? We're going to put together a plan of action to do this. And then we're going to schedule 30 years out. Here's your FIN number. This is your financial independence number. Now, once we do that, we put the plan together. What are some of the things that make up the plan? Well, the first thing is that I've always said that you should learn to live on 50% of your income. And if you can do that, it's hard starting out. But, you know, a young couple, I've said this many times, you know, you're probably both living separately, all right, and then you moved in together. Why wouldn't you just save one of your incomes for 3 years and have $100,000 set aside? And, I mean, things like that happen. And, you know, young people, they make mistakes, you know, cars and too expensive of a house, they get a credit card debt, or they don't get started quick enough. So when I'm working with somebody young, most important thing I'm going to tell you to do is look, don't have a car wreck. All right. And that's by walking in and buying some stupid car you can't afford and finance it forever. That kind of thing. You want to buy used and buy cheap and pay cash and take the car payment that everybody else is paying, and that's an investment that you put into your Roth IRAs and stuff like that. Don't go buy a house based on what the mortgage company tells you you can afford or the realtor. Go buy something that people would say, man, you would have think you spent more money than that on, you know, but the fact of the matter is I just talked to somebody that they're making a six-figure income and they went and bought a condo. They're living alone and went and bought a condo and paid $180,000 for it. How about that? All right, smart money move. And then you've got a place and, you know, so don't make a house become the reason you stay broke. The third thing is you avoid credit card debt and financing things that go down in value. How do you do this? It all becomes part of the budget. So if you get started and you learn to live on half, you include all of the things that are going to happen, like maintenance and, you know, things like that. And, you know, being dumb and backing into the post here at the radio station. I did that on my car, so I get to go fix my bumper. You know, things like that. You're going to have those things come up. But what happens is you already have them planned in. They're built in. And you eventually get your mindset around 50%. I'm going to live on half. When I do that, that allows me to pay my taxes and probably save 25%. Now, how do you live on half? Well, again, it goes back to protect your income stream. Make sure your income stream is a growing income stream. I remember when I first got in business, I had 18 consecutive years of income increases. Well, if you do that, eventually all that income increase, other than the taxes that are involved in it, it's just pure savings. And so then you start getting ahead. And then if you want to raise your lifestyle, go ahead and raise your lifestyle. So the step number one in the plan is the budget. The second one is avoid disaster by having an emergency fund. About 6 months of your cash should be set aside in something liquid that's easy to get to. The third part is we're going to have a plan to stay out of debt other than good debt. Good debt is debt that we can afford. And debt that is tied to something that appreciates, all right? Maybe you put some money into your business and you borrow some money at low interest rates and do that kind of stuff, or you buy a house that you can afford that's appreciating, things like that, or you buy rental property that you can afford. You got 50% equity in the rental property. Usually, if you have 50% equity in a rental, you never have to worry about having it being vacant because you can rent it under market and keep it busy, keep it full all the time. My dad did that for years. And so you do that, and you make sure that you don't get the bad debt, which is debt that you're overextended on. You don't buy finance things that go down in value. You don't finance things that you consume, like vacations and lunch and all that kind of stuff. A lot of people don't realize this, but if you owe a balance on your credit card at the end of the month and you borrow and you go use it for lunch and you didn't pay the balance off the month before, you're financing your food from the moment that they swipe, and you're paying 18% interest on your eating out. So anyway, so those are some mistakes that you want to avoid. We want to buy the right insurance. There's some things when you buy insurance that you need to think about. One is you insure your income, and you do that with two types of insurance. You buy life insurance, which is income protection. So what happens is this: if you are earning an income and you say to yourself, well, I'm making $60,000 a year and I'm 40 years old, I expect to work 25 more years, then that means if I don't get a pay raise, I'm going to earn $1.5 million in over the next 25 years. So then I need to buy term life insurance, maybe a 25-year term, to get me to retirement, and I need to buy enough that I could put it in an investment and it would pay that $60,000 a year for the next 25 years. And so you're going to have $1.5 million of earnings if you don't get a raise. You may find out that for $700,000 of coverage, it's a math problem, you can buy enough term insurance to do that. I would never buy cash value life insurance. It's just high priced, overvalued, fees, everything that goes along with it. I always tell people, buy term insurance, buy term life insurance, rather than putting extra money into a cash value, universal life, whole life, all the different ones. I would put the money into an investment, maybe your Roth IRA, or put it into your 401k, whatever it may be. So that would be on the life insurance. Disability income is another one that insures you in the event something happens to where you can't work anymore, or you just can't do your job. So let's say you're a surgeon and you're capable, but your back is so messed up you can't do surgery anymore and bend over, but you can do other things. Well, those other things don't pay you $500,000 a year. So you would buy disability income insurance geared toward your specifics. All right. And then that way, you would be in a position to continue to go do something else and make money, but because you couldn't do what you're doing, you would be able to get your disability income. So those are income protection. We also want to have asset protection. Asset protection is liability coverage. All right. What's called a personal umbrella policy, which in the event somebody gets hurt and you're the cause of it, your house, you wreck a car, whatever it may be, you buy an umbrella policy, a liability policy, which allows you to have additional coverage to protect people from suing you, and you become lawsuit proof because you've got the insurance company backing you up. You might buy, depending on your assets, $1 million, $2 million, whatever it might be. We also buy coverage for our cars and our home. That's asset protection as well. And then I can throw one more in there that would go along with it, and that would be long-term care insurance, and that is asset protection. So those are things that you go about doing. Long-term care covers in-home help, assisted living, as well as if you go in a nursing home. And so what we do is we say, well, if we had something like that happen to us, where we ended up going in, then what would end up happening is we need something that would pay out enough to cover the expense of two properties, meaning one of you is at home and the other one is in the nursing home. And so what happens is you start looking at it. So now we've built the defensive position in the plan. Every one of these requires product selection, which we'll get down into in a little bit. But the bottom line is that we now know what we need to do. And then what we do is we implement products into those things. Now, a budget, you can go to roymatlockjr.com and get on the get the download for the budget. All right. And this will help you get started. I use like money market accounts for an emergency fund. I use mine. I tell people you put it tied into your mutual fund. And the reasoning for that is that allows you to be able to move the money quickly if you wanted to into the market or something like that. Or you can do it at the bank. The insurance, you need to have the right person choosing the right insurance. All right. Because you can get ripped off and things like that. And we do that kind of stuff. And then the last part is is we want to have a plan to stay out of debt, and that goes right back to the budget. The budget's the most important thing. And so part of the plan is the defensive position. That's what we just talked about. When we come back, we're going to get detailed more into the offensive position when it comes to your budget. I hope you're enjoying the show. Visit RoyMatlockJr.com, and I would encourage you to download some of our free resources. Sign up for my podcast. Hey, we've even got a 13-week Zoom course that you can sign up called the Client Education Series. With that being said, we will be right back.